Hello, leaders. It's time for lesson prep on Unit 3, Lesson 1, page 56. Jesus knows our secrets. In the second small paragraph, I have said, even our righteous actions must be done with proper motivation and presentation. So that's what we're considering in this lesson. And I would encourage you, if it feels right to you, to go around the table with the first Roman numerals, the outline, and have one person read that whole sentence, and then another person read number two, another person number three, another person number four. And we can, I'm just going to do that for you now. Introductory statement, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Number two, the first righteous act was when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet like hypocrites. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward. Number three, Matthew 6:5, second righteous act. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites standing on the street. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward. And number four, Matthew 6:16, third righteous act. When you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with sad face and disfigured so that men see them. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward. I realized there was not a big blank for that whole long bunches of words that were filled in the blanks there. So I'm sorry about that. It's just the way that it got formatted. So you might ask, what was wrong with the Pharisees' actions? Because that would be a reflective sentence or question. And the answer is that they were doing it for people to see them. And I know that I've brought that up in the paragraphs below, but just having them express it kind of gets people engaged in thinking. So what was wrong with the Pharisees' actions? And then the first line of the paragraph underneath there, even good deeds can be carried out for the wrong reasons. And then skip to the second paragraph. But good works, righteous actions, are the expected result of our relationship with God the Father and Jesus his Son. And that's what Jesus is teaching about. So what, at the top of page 57, what does Ephesians 2:10 say? We just need to hear this truth. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he has prepared beforehand for us. And how does Jesus tell us to do some of those good works? So you kind of need to hear Ephesians 2:10, and then you can just move right into the question on the page. How does Jesus tell us to do some of those good works? So go around the table again. Number 1, 2, 3. Matthew 6, 3 through 4, the first righteous act. But when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Second righteous act, Matthew 6:6. When you pray, go into your room and shut your door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And number three, Matthew 6. It's actually verses 17 and 18. Third righteous act, but when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. But by your Father. That doesn't go very well, does it? Your Father in secret will see you. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. I don't know if I even did that. Well, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. But my sentence, my typing needs fixing. I just noticed that, obviously. Okay, so just let that sit there. And then the next thing in the middle of the page is a question, and I suggest that you just state the answer to this. Jesus calls those who practice their righteous deeds hypocrites, and that will be your transition into the next Greek word. Looked it up. Hypocrites is something like the pronunciation hypocrites. And I have one who answers, an interpreter, and that's actually from Plato. I saw that in the notes. So that's outside the Bible. Second, we have the definition of it being an actor, and you can see how that matches this idea of pretending. So I had definition 1, 2, 3, one who answers, an actor, and a pretender. Keep going to the next discussion question. How can you keep your left hand from knowing what your right hand is doing when you give? So this was thought-provoking and just, you know, what does that look like so that it is not a big deal? And I said, don't make it a big deal about it to yourself. Don't pat yourself on the back. And it's almost like a sleight of hand. I mean, you're hiding one hand from the other hand. Funny thing, I was just had the football on, and they actually used this phrase. They didn't let their right hand know what their left hand was doing because it was some kind of sneak play. So that was interesting to hear it on the football field. The next question, discussion question. There are many times when believers pray in public, and this is appropriate. What should our perspective be when we pray together in a group? And my comments were just that this, we're not praying to impress people, but we're just talking to God together. And it's fine to have some conversation about that. And then we'll consider the practice of fasting. So on page 58, I just kind of merged a couple of sentences in that first paragraph. Jesus refers to religious activities as things that the disciples will continue to do. And specifically, they will still fast. Then we looked in the Old Testament, and I think we should talk about what Leviticus says. So how does Leviticus 16 describe the action that the people are to take on the Day of Atonement? My version said, afflict your souls. I think that is the be remorseful, be convicted of sin. And on the Day of Atonement, do no work. On that day, the priest will make atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. So the language there is definitely regarding consideration and conviction of sin and a desire of fasting for forgiveness of sin. And that's obviously what I have as a statement after that question. I think you can skip the Luke verse because I think that's kind of familiar. And let's go to the Colossians verse. Colossians 2:20-23 also tells us something about abstaining from foods. It says that rules such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch have the appearance of wisdom. Who made these rules and why do they have the appearance of wisdom? But these verses say that these are principles of the world. They are doctrines of men. They are self-imposed. And why do they have the appearance of wisdom? Well, they are self-imposed. They have a false humility and a neglect of the body. And then just also in that verse, you'll learn, are these rules of any value? No, because there is no value in them against the indulgence of the flesh. And I think you can skip the next question about how Jesus says his disciples should fast. I will answer it for you. It says they should look good. Don't give the appearance of fasting. And then go to the bottom of page 58. There's one more discussion about fasting that takes place in Matthew 9:14-15. What does Jesus explain about fasting here? So the disciples are not fasting. They're not mourning because Jesus is still with them. But he says that the time will come when they will fast when he's not with them. And if you feel like you need to move quickly, if there's anything that has happened in that first lesson that you feel like you've just taken a lot of time from anything, then on page 58, you actually could skip that whole page and just go to what is the summary at the top of page 59. But I didn't tell you to do that as we went through. I'm just saying you could keep that in mind, and you could possibly just skip to a discussion of fasting by going to the top of 59. According to the Old Testament, the purpose of fasting was to bring remorse, conviction of sin, bring about repentance. And the manner of fasting was afflicting your souls, doing no work, going to the priest. And then, according to Jesus, the wrong way to fast was for show. The wrong time to fast was when he was still with them. The right way to fast was in secret. And the right time to fast would be when he was gone. So it's still appropriate to fast. And then there's only one occasion of fasting mentioned in the time of the early church. And this is corporate fasting, actually. So what do you learn from Acts 13, 1 through 3? They fasted and prayed. And it doesn't say specifically, but because the thing that happened after they fasted and prayed was the Holy Spirit answering sin, Paul, that it seems to me very probable that they were fasting and praying that the Lord would send workers for the harvest. We know that they were told to pray for that. So they fasted and prayed. The Spirit answered them, sent Paul, and then they fasted and prayed again. And this is just an example showing that fasting was not only for repentance, but it certainly is appropriate to fast for repentance. I think you can skip the rest of this lesson, because if you get to the bottom question, we need to apply Jesus' teachings to everything we do. We don't need to talk about that. So let's go to the next lesson. Oops, I'm going to close this recording and go to lesson 2.